Hi, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us. Today, we will walk you through Italgas full year 2020 results. I'm Anna Maria Scaglia, Head of IR, joined by Mr. Paolo Gallo, our CEO, and Mr. Antonio Paccioretti, our General Manager. We will address any question you might have at the end of the presentation. I leave now the floor to our CEO, Mr. Paolo Gallo.
Thank you, Anna Maria, and welcome to all the people that are connected to this conference call. We are going to explain you in details the result of 2020. As you very well know, that 2020 has been a very particular year, and I'm very proud of the ability that our organization have shown during the 12 months to adapt to the new environment, using and leveraging all our strengths and looking at the new challenges as also an opportunities to improve. At the same time, we have been able to ensure safety of our people, supplier, and customers, and we were able, during the last 12 months, to continue provide our services with no interruption. The numbers that we are going to comment in a moment show the growth path that we started years ago, with a performance that was in line with the targets that we confirmed during the presentation of the plan at the end of October. Our effort in the digital transformation remains paramount, also considering the opportunities set by the energy transition and the objective to significantly reduce methane emission. In Sardinia, we started in, at the beginning of the year, injecting methane natural gas in our network, and that is allowing the citizens that are living in Sardinia to use methane natural gas in their houses, as all the citizens in Italy. You know that in February, we issue two bonds. Antonio will tell you more in details in a moment. The issuance of the two bonds has confirmed the positive view that the debt market recognized to us. I'm also proud of the result achieved by the company in the sustainability area. I will talk in a moment. It's a journey, it's a long journey that we started, and we will continue to follow. Based on the result that were approved yesterday by our board of directors, the board of directors is going to propose to the next general assembly that will take place on April 20, to distribute a dividend of 0.277 euro per share for the financial year 2020. That is an increase of 8.2% versus what we paid last year. Let's move into the numbers. Let's first move to page number three. Let's move to page number three. As you know, this year, our result have been impacted by a few adjustment that I'm going to tell you in a moment. What we are going to comment are the adjusted numbers. They are in line with the guidance, as I said before, that we announced last October. Let me say that on the adjusted basis, two main changes severely impacted our numbers. The first, the big impact, as you know, we have commented this impact in the previous conference call of 2020, has been the resolution of the regulator. The overall impact on our number is more than 45 million euros. The second element on the positive sense is the fact that since January 1st, 2020, There is the full consolidation of Toscana Energia that, as you remember, in respect to 2018, Toscana Energia was consolidated only for the last quarter. Despite the challenging operating conditions due to the pandemic situation, adjusted net income was a little bit higher than last year, and that has been to me really a great result, and is the result of our effort in reducing the cost, being more efficient, and we were able in that way to reducing to zero the strong negative impact of the resolution of the regulator. Let's skip one page and let's move to to page four, CAPEX. CAPEX in 2020, Rika. I know that there is some problem in following me. If you are connected to through the internet website, we will try to fix the problem. Otherwise, our suggestion is to connect to the phone line and showing the QR code. Okay, so hopefully it will be restored immediately. Sorry for that. We are not managing the telco communication, otherwise it would be perfect as all our digital activity. Having said that, let's go back to the 2020 result. From a CAPEX point of view, we were able, so if you move to page four, we were able to beat the last year number, the 740 million, and it should have been even higher without the COVID. I mean, our plan was to invest even more than that, so to pass the 800 million euro. But unfortunately, for the lockdown and for the other activity that you know very well that has been impacted during the year, we were not able to reach the number. Still, we were able to reach the highest number of investment we have ever recorded. The cash flow generated by during 2020, even though we have struggled to help our supply chain, remains significant, 740 million, and our net debt reached the 4.7 billion euro if you include the IFRS 16, otherwise it is 4.66 billion euro. The increase, as I said, mainly related to the higher CAPEX, but also to our decision to keep supporting our supply chain, as we said several times during last year conference call. Moving to the following page, I would like you to give you some flavor about what we achieving 2020 in the sustainability area. And I'm very proud to say that for the first time ever, and probably we are the only one in Europe, we were able to physical count, not just making an estimation of the methane emission leakages. And the number that we recorded was 0.1%, that is the amount over the natural gas that was delivered to the final customer. In the same time, all our technological effort and innovation effort aimed to reduce our carbon footprint has led to the first significant result of 5.4% reduction in the energy intensity. Digitalization and diversity, I mean, two areas where we focus in during 2020, more than 20,000 hours were delivered as a training to our personnel on digital subjects to help our person in the digital transformation. And the shares of the women employed in Italgas was growing to 15%, that's still a very low number, but we need always to look where we start from in an industry that until a few years ago was men-dominated. And finally, our remuneration of the manager was linked, among the others, to a number of KPI related to the sustainability. Let's talk a little bit about the investment that we did last year. In page 6, you see the trend. Since 2016, significant increase. We increased by more than 5% in respect of last year, but we more than doubled in respect of 2016. And as you can see, the trend is growing, significantly growing. We probably, as I said before, we would have achieved a higher result without the COVID. Let's get into details about these 777 million euro. If you look on page 7, you have a breakdown of the investments. More than 200 million euros have been invested in digital transformation and meter replacement. Of course, metering capex declined respect of the 2019 and the previous year, but that is more than expected because the replacement program is nearly to be completed. It should have been completed by 2020, but unfortunately due to the COVID situation, we were not able to replace around 400,000 small meters that are going to be replaced in these months. While the metering capex decline, we had an increase in the digitization of the network, and that resulted in a technological upgrade of nearly 500 networks. On the other end, the network, what we spend on the network, increasing respect of 2019, representing 62% of the total, out of which 13% is related to the investment that we made in Sardinia. If we talk about physical numbers, last year we added almost 900, more than 900 kilometers of new pipe, one third of which is in Sardinia, and we replace 1.3 million meters if we include the affiliates. Inside this number, there is also, as you can see in the presentation, there is also the replacement of the smart meters that were not functioning correctly, that represent about 400,000 of them. We will talk that in a moment when we will discuss about one-time item. So let's move into the following chart where we are going to discuss what we call special items. And before getting into the explanation of the numbers of 2020, we would like to clear the point of the special items so we can concentrate ourselves in comparing the 2020 adjusted number with the 2019 adjusted number. So in 2020, we had few special items. There is a clear explanation here. More than 100 million are the amount that recognize the amortization that have been lost in the past year when we replaced the traditional meters. We have always said, even in 2020, in 2019, in 2018, that at that time the regulation did not recognize completely the amortization quota that was lost due to the early replacement. We have been discussing this item with the regulator for many years, and finally, the regulator recognized that our position was correct, that because we were obliged to replace the meters earlier than the end of the life, the regulatory life, we should have been compensated by the amortization that was not recognized. That represent the 108 million euro, represent all the amortization quota not recognized for all the smart meters replaced until December, the end of December of 2019. On the other hand, on the cost side, we have created a special fund to cover the new smart meter that in the future may have some problem in communicating or broken smart meter and so forth. That is going to cover the whole period of the plan, so until 2026. We have estimated, we have made a very careful calculation, and the final estimation number is 38.5 million euros. That represent for future replacement, to cover future replacement. The other element that you should know is that by the end of year 2021, the so-called Quota 100 will end. You remember that Quota 100 has a period of application that was 3 years, was 2021, 2020, 2019. Therefore, starting from January 1st, 2022, the Quota 100 will not apply anymore based on the current legislation. In order to help the people that from one day to another will see the retirement date moving by few years, we have decided to create a fund of 13 million euro to help those people to reduce this big gap that will be created with the fact that the Quota 100 will end it by the year-end. There is another special item that is on the fiscal side, and maybe Antonio will give you some details later, is the higher tax to reflect the fiscal impact of the above-mentioned items. This is the explanation about the special item that were included in our annual statement. If you take the special items out of the reported 2020 result, you will get to the 2020 adjusted result that I'm going to comment. Now you see the comparison between, on page 9, the comparison between 2020 adjusted result and 2019 adjusted result. There is an increase of revenues, mainly driven by Toscana Energia consolidation. Of course, on the other side, as I said before, there is a significantly decrease of the revenues driven by the resolution of the regulator that, as I said before, the overall amount is 45 million euros. You should remind that in 2019, Toscana Energia was fully consolidated only in the last quarter. If we take a look at the cost, we will get you into details in a moment, you will see that the overall expenses increased by 3.4% and mainly due by the fact that Toscana Energia has been fully consolidated. Same approach for depreciation and amortization, and Antonio will explain to you later. Tax rate at 27%. Details of that will be given by Antonio later. Finally, the net profit adjusted reported an increase of 0.1%, and I think it has been an incredible result considering from where we start. where we started. Let me give you some more flavor about the results in terms of revenues. Revenues increased by 6%. As I said, you can see the contribution of Toscana Energia, more than 100 million euro. And on the other side, you see that the regulator resolution impacted us only Italgas for 40 million and an additional 5 million to Toscana Energia. This negative effect has been partially compensated by the fact that our RAB has increased. So you can see that there is an increase of number of 18 million euro. We have also an increase considering the M&A. In other terms, last year we did not have the full M&A consolidated. We have also partially M&A consolidated, while in 2020 all the M&A was fully consolidated. And then finally, we face negative impact of other items for 7.2 million euro. That is mainly driven by two effects. One negative effect that is the COVID-19. COVID-19 determined a significant reduction of services to the final customer. Do you remember that during the lockdown period, we were not allowed to go to the customers for any services requested except the new connection? The overall amount of the services provided to the customer that impacted our 2020 account was equal to 11 million euro in respect of 2019. That was compensated by an increase of the bonus that we receive by the gas leak catch reduction. So again, our new technology, our digital technology, has brought us a significant increase in respect of 2020. And finally, on the meter replacement in 2020, we have applied the new regulation, and therefore, in respect of 2018, there has been an increase of 7 million euros. The capital gains is related to the fact that last year we accounted the capital gain for the sale of a building that, of course, in 2020 is not there anymore. On page 11, we have only the details of all the revenues. And now, if you take a look at the cost, I think that is probably one of the most interesting areas regarding the consideration. Is on page 12. If you take out the additional cost driven by Toscana Energia, and if you compare the overall cost 2020 versus 2029, taking also out the additional and cost reduction driven by the COVID-19. So if you compare Apple with Apple, the efficiency that we were able to achieve in 2020 has been equal to 20 million euro, that represent more than 6% in terms of cost reduction. So, as a result, such a reduction is mainly due to our capacity, our ability to control the cost and to implement all the digital tools that were available, that we developed, and they represent a really true cost reduction for our company. On the following page, as always, in page 13, you have details of all those costs. So I'm not going to comment because I have already commented before. I will give the floor to Antonio for the following part of the presentation. Antonio, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Paolo. Good afternoon to everyone. We are now on slide 14. Adjusted EBITDA, EBIT amounted to 547 million euro in 2020, up 6% year on year. This is the result of, first, 64 million euro increase in our EBITDA, mainly due to the revenues increase of 76 million, and the cost increase of 12 million already commented. Second, almost 33 million increase in D&A, mainly driven by, firstly, higher network and metering depreciation related to the CapEx carried out during the last 12 months for 21 million euros. Secondly, the consolidation of Toscana Energia, around 32 million euros. Those items were partially compensated by lower accelerated depreciation, 26 million, related to the reduction of the economical life of meters. As we are close to the complete the replacement of the entire traditional meter pool, the accelerated depreciation are lower than last year. Moving to slide 15, adjusted net profit reached 345.4 million euros in line with last year. Net financial expenses of 49 million were the result of lower cost of debt of just below 1% and in reduction versus last year. The lower average cost of debt was offset by higher average gross debt, around 5 billion this year. On top of this, in the first quarter, we booked 4 million euros of other financial income, mainly related to the positive solution of the arbitration of Viadana, a municipality in Lombardia, and higher capitalizations. Income from associates decreased by 13 million euros, mainly related to Toscana Energia full consolidation. We accounted for 135 million euros of adjusted income tax. Our tax rate was 27.1% at the bottom of our guidance of 27-28%. Toscana Energia consolidation also explains the higher minorities. Cash flow from operation amounted to 745 million euros and was generated by a net profit of 404 million euros before minorities and depreciation and other non-cash items of 418 million euros. Our working capital was negative for 76 million. Both working capital and depreciation and other were affected by the non-cash impacts of cost and revenue special items, as detailed in the slide. The working capital absorption, net of this effect, was around 15 million euros. Such result is positive considering our decision to restock inventories to support our supply chain. The net cash generated allowed us to almost entirely finance the disbursement for the significant CapEx program, around 770 million euros, due to the material increase in technical investment and our policy to sustain supply, you discussed before, and the M&A activity for 14 million. This explains the increase in net debt by 251 million reported in the year. Moving to the slide number 17, our debt structure at the year end confirms low interest rate exposure together with important duration and tenors. This structure has been further enhanced with the recent refinancing transaction carried out in February, thanks to which we have further increased our fixed rate and tenor. We have issued a dual tranche bond, 1 billion, of which 500 million with a coupon of 0% for 7 years, and 500 million with a coupon of 50 basis points for 12 years. And we bought back notes expiring in 2022 and 2024 for a total amount of 250 million euro. As a result, we have further reduced our 2022 and 2024 refinancing needs. We have extended our bond average tenor to 7.5 years from the 6.7 years at the year end 2020. On top of this, it's worth remembering our EIB loans expiring up to 2037. The refinancing has cut our exposure to floating rates from 13.5% at the year end to around 2% at present, as we have repaid our drawn back credit lines. We maintain a significant amount of cash and cash equivalent of around 600 million euros, readily available on bank accounts and time deposits with leading financial institutions, which will permit soon the company to cancel the 500 committed revolving credit facility with significant savings. Also, thanks to this financing transaction, the company can continue to leverage on the lowest average cost of debt of the sector of around 1%, combined with the superior debt structure, which minimizes both interest rate and refinancing risks. Moving on to the balance sheet, net invested capital amounts to 6.7 billion euros, with an increase of almost 440 million compared to the end 2019. The increase is mainly driven by the capex of almost 777 million euros and depreciation of 425 million. As commented in the previous slide, consolidated net debt was 4.7 billion, including the IFRS 16 impact, and of 76 million, with an increase of around 250 million compared to the year end 2019. I leave now the floor back to Paolo.
Thank you. I think we have outlined today all our results that have proven to be extremely positive. We have been able, even in a very difficult year, to deliver significant and sustainable growth, and we have confirmed our leadership position in the gas distribution sector. We will continue to strive to generate efficiency thanks also to our digital transformation. As we said at the beginning, this allows us to propose to the next General Assembly dividend per share for the fiscal year 2021 of 2.77 euro cents, number that is higher than 8.2% than the last year. When in October we delivered a new dividend policy, we said that was going to be the higher between 65% of the payout and the increase of 4% of dividend per share of the previous year, and that has been proven to immediately deliver additional value to our shareholder. For me, that's all. I would like to open the floor for any question you may have on the numbers. Please, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you do have any questions or comments, you need to press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound or the hash key. Once again, it's star 1 if you have any questions or comments, and it's the pound or the hash key to cancel. You have the first questions coming from the line of Harry Wyburd from Bank of America. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got three. First one's just a very general one. You obviously enjoy one of the lowest costs of debt in the sector, and I guess the hot topic du jour is rising rates. I just want to ask on your financing strategy,
Excuse me to interrupt you, but the line is extremely bad. So we hear you up and down. So either you speak slowly or you improve the line. To speak slowly is probably easier than improving the line.
Okay, sorry about that. I'll try and speak a bit louder and slower. So the first question was a general one. on your exposure to rising rates, and obviously you enjoy one of the lowest costs of debt in the sector. I wanted to understand how you would position yourself to be ready for a rise in rates. Would you look to buy back more bonds, particularly the 2024 and 2025 maturities on slide 17? Or are you comfortable with rising rates, and do you think that higher allowed returns and inflation gearing should protect you? So it's a general question on how you see your exposure to higher rates. Second one is on the regulatory review. So I just wanted to understand what the latest timeline is that you expect on the regulatory review. When do we expect the next consultation document? And do you think the increase in rates that we've had in the last few weeks is going to impact the formula and the outcome of the allowed return? And then finally, just trying my luck a bit here, I know you don't typically comment on guidance this early, but consensus for this year, I believe, is around €350 million at the net. I wonder, could you give us any kind of gauge as to whether you're comfortable with that? Many thanks.
As far as the first question, I mean, our possible strategy for the future in order to manage our cost of debt and our debt structure. I mean, you know, I believe that we have already demonstrated also very recently the capacity of our company to proactively manage our debt structure. We believe that it is in the interest of the company to invest for reducing the volatility and the possible risk perceived on our destruction, therefore to invest on fixed rate and on duration and tenor, so in order to minimize the risks for both interest rates and refinancing. The current market condition permit us so far, has permitted us so far, and I expect also for this year to pursue these targets efficiently. These targets, I believe that it is not the case to discuss today our next steps and our strategy for the future transaction. I mean, transaction like this one on the debt capital market can be discussed after the transaction is done by the company. On the work review, as you know, this is the last year for the current regulatory period as far as the return is concerned. We will have the new return starting from next January, and in terms of for the discussion about the new number, we expect in terms of calendar, we expect the first consultation document, I would say, in this spring, as we say, just before the summer, May, June, maybe. Usually the process provides after the first consultation document few weeks or few months for the company and for all the stakeholders to discuss the content of this first consultation document. So we expect a second one in just after the summer, and the decision, as usual, just at the end of of the year. Discussion, one of the main discussion, is the level of the spread between between the Italian, let me say, trade risk, so the BTP and the bond, which today it is considering the average so far calculated so far, starting from October, is in the range of 110 basis point. So this is the element that can permit you to make your assumption, your calculation.
Last question is on the guidance. As normal, we don't provide guidance for this year until we are going to present the strategic plan that is set for June, May, June.
Okay, many thanks.
Mid-June.
We have the next questions coming from the line of Javier Suarez from Mediobanca. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions as well. I have three. On the new administration, the new government in Italy, and possible initial discussions between the company and the new Minister for Ecological Transition or Prime Minister, the administration in general. The question for you is, do you see that there is a realistic expectation that there could be, as a consequence of this conversation, a much more virtuous circle when it comes to the accelerations on the gas tenders? That would be the first question. Then the second question is on hydrogen. Since your latest presentation, there has been plenty of discussion on hydrogen, evolution, et cetera. In your latest strategic update, you were mentioning that the digital transformation of the network should be completed by 2022, and that should be instrumental for the distribution of different gases. So you would be so kind of sharing with us your latest thought on the opportunity that renewable gases and hydrogen may bring for a company like Italgas. And the third and final question is on other opportunities. In your latest strategic update, you were mentioning the intention to invest in things such as energy efficiency services and water distribution. If you can give us and share with us your latest thought on that as well. Many thanks.
Regarding the first question, I mean, the line was really bad, to be honest. So if my answer are not correct, please intervene and change. And the line is, I don't know why it's really bad. Well, no, on the first question, let me say that, first of all, we don't know exactly which are the responsibility of the new Ministry of Ecological Transition and the Ministry of Industry. So let me say that, first of all, we need to understand exactly our sector, where it is going to be, the activity relevant to our sector, where are going to be allocated. Having said that, we think that either one minister or the other, ones that we will know exactly the responsibility, we are going to show them, as we have done it in the past, the positive result of an accelerated gas tender, hopefully, and that is not only from an investment point of view, but also from an upgrade point of view of the gas network. So we know very well that the small and medium operator are investing practically to zero. There is no upgrade, there is no on the small operator, there is no even the obligation to replace traditional meter with smart one. And so it's clear that the upgrade of the network is not going to happen on this operator. So what we are going to do very soon, to present to the new government and the new ministry, either the positive impact of the gas tender acceleration from an investment point of view, but also for an upgrade point of view. And then brings me to the second question. Why I'm talking about upgrade and digital transformation is because, I mean, I have had personally recently a meeting with the cabinet of Franz Timmermans, that you know is in charge of the recovery fund, or the energy transition, and so forth. As the same, I had a meeting with Carlos Simpson, that is the DG Energy of the European Commission. And the message that we received from the cabinet of Franz Timmermans was very clear, that our grids are going to be strategic for the energy transition, and our grids should be able in the future to manage different gases. And when they say different gases, they mention renewable gases, natural gas, hydrogen, e-gas, when e-gas is synthetic natural gas. To do that, you need to upgrade, and that is, I'm not saying is what they said to us, you need to upgrade your gas networks in order to be able to manage different gases. So from an energy transition point of view, it is essential that the gas network, the gas distribution network, should be upgraded, should become a different network, should become a digital network to manage different gases that are essential in order to achieve the objectives set by the European Union in terms of decarbonization. So going back to the first question, gas tenders are needed to clarify the picture and to push the investment on the existing network. On the last subject, energy efficiency and water distribution, we have several dossiers that we are working on, both on the energy efficiency and on the water distribution. And so hopefully soon we will tell you something about it. Maybe because there is with us, Gianfranco Amoroso may say a little bit more about the energy efficiency as a response with a general point of view considering what we are doing right now. Gianfranco, just give you a flavor about what we are doing on the energy efficiency.
Yes, thank you. I will take this point on the energy efficiency. Let me say that we are delivering the strategy that we have announced in our last strategic plan. First point, you remember, was the merge, the reorganization of the two companies on the group. The merge between Toscana Energia Green and Seaside is almost at the end and will be in front of the notary by the end of April. Normal business, we are doing the business two companies as one. We are now achieving a significant amount of orders coming from the new super bonus and eco bonus schemes. And lastly, we are progressing also on the CapEx plan that we have announced at around 100 million euro in the plan. And as Mr. Gall was saying, we are now examining several opportunities for external growth.
Okay, many thanks.
Next question, please.
We have the next questions coming from the line of Enrico Baldoli from Stifel. Please ask your question.
Hi, good evening, and first for taking my question. The first one is related to the operating cost. You showed this 20 million euros of efficiency achieved in 2020. I wonder if you can give us some details on the sustainability in 2021 of this kind of cost, or if there is anything connected with the incentives that the government gave for the COVID emergency. And in general, if you can elaborate on the evolution of the cost that you can expect for 2021, and particularly the impact of the provisions that you account in terms of a personal cost, 13 million euros in 2020. The second question is related to the tender process. There was the recent award of the Torino 1 to you. If you can update us on the status of the other main dossier on which you are present, and in particular on Belluno, I think that there were some development on the legal side. And the third one is related to the investments. If you can give us some guidance on the level of investment that you expect in 2021, at least in comparison to the level achieved in 2020. Thank you.
On the operating cost, let me first of all say we have not received any government support due to the COVID. So zero, and we are proud of that because we don't need that. We are managing our costs properly. We were able to reduce the cost, so we didn't need anything. As you know, the COVID has impacted us in several, from a cost point of view, in different areas. So from a cost point of view, we have accounted all the what we call the DPI that we bought for our personnel, so the mask, the gloves, I mean all that stuff that you know very well. On the other side, our costs were reduced by the fact that Overtime was reduced. We did not have any travel expenses. We reduced the holiday fund. Overall, we were able to compensate more cost and less cost from the other side. Let me say that the 20 million that we showed to you did not take into account what I have just told you. So we neutralized the COVID effect and we compare apple with apple. It's going to be sustainable. I mean, we have shown you, I mean, it's our history. I don't have to respond and to confirm what we have been able to prove since 2016. Our idea that our cost can be reduced, that we can be more effective in our activities, spending less, we have proved it in many years. So I don't have to prove anything more than that. We will continue to do that. And as I said already many times in 2020, what you are going to see in terms of cost reduction is mainly driven by the digital transformation. So the traditional way of cutting the cost will remain in place, but of course it's not able to generate the number that we are talking about. The number that we are talking about, 20 million, is coming from the digital transformation. So you will see more coming in the next year. That is in line from what we have announced in October with our strategic plan. And as always, we are doing probably even better than what we said in October. I hope I answered to everything. On the tender process, we expect for in 2021 between 4 to 5 tenders to be submitted. 2 or 3 of them are of our interest. So that is what we are working currently in putting together all the documentation for those tenders. Regarding Belluno, we don't have any recent new except, but it's probably quite old, that the administrative court rejected the request coming from the different comuni, and the comuni, they decided to go to the Consiglio di Stato, to the final court to make the decision about the request. But the first step, I know, was already known since several months, if I remember well. So it's not I don't have any new. On the guidance side, as I said before, we don't provide today the guidance of 2021. We will provide the guidance in June. Having said that, considering what I told you about the CAPEX in 2020, we expected to do more CAPEX than we did it. So we are, for example, smart meters were supposed to be concluded in 2020. 400,000 we were not able to replace due to the COVID. We will do it in 2021. So my expectation is that the CAPEX, the level of investment in 2021, will pass the 2020 result, also considering the fact that we are recovering what we are not able to do in 2020. So if I have to say a number, the number will be higher than what we recorded in 2020.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
The next questions come from the line of Stefano Gamberini from Equita SIM. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, everybody. A few questions also from my side, if I may. First of all, regarding the gas tender, the tender in Greece, what is the situation there? If you can remind us what are your investment criteria, could you also present your offer together with some financial investors or not, just to have a picture when something could arrive on that side. The other two questions I have are regarding the tender in Naples. According to Quotidiana Energia, in the Naples tender, two to Aerated Gas would be ahead slightly. Why and what do you expect, considering that the authority decided to go ahead with a new calculation of the different offer? And the last one is regarding the situation for the M&A. 1 year ago, when the new regulation was introduced, it was clear to me that for the small operators, the cut was even deeper than yours and probably difficult to sustain in terms of recognized OpEx. So is the environment changed for M&A deals, or at the end of the day, even after 1 year, the small operators are still there waiting for the tenders and without any acceleration on M&A deals? Many thanks.
On the Greece side, originally the binding offer was supposed to be submitted on March 16, so in a few days. The deadline has been extended. We don't know yet the exact date. It looks like it should be June. That for us, it's unfortunately because we were ready to submit the binding offer for in March. We are going to be to make the bid by ourselves, so we don't need. We have no. We don't have any agreement, nor we don't need anyone to submit the bid. The overall RAB, considering also the part that is not owned by the Greek government, the overall RAB is around 600 million. And then, I mean, any other numbers, it would be just a guess. And of course, we are not willing to deliver any of our evaluation, considering that the tender is in process. Regarding Napoli, I mean, what you said is correct. We feel that our offer is better. The result was very close to each other, 0.3% difference, so nothing. And in fact, the authority, let me say, the stazione appaltante, I don't know the translation in English, but the commission that is judging the result have requested to the two operators, that is not customary, the review of the offer, and they have asked specific questions, understanding if that is an offer that is sustainable or not. That is the rules of the game. Normally, in a normal tender where the first in the rank is clear, those requests are only given to the first one, not to the second. In that case, the requests were made to both the operators, demonstrating that the two numbers are so close, and it's too close to say who's going to be the winner. We feel we made the best offer, and we feel that at the end of the day, the best offer will win. On the M&A side, I mean, what you said is right. We have discussion going on. The small operator are still there. We have discussion going on. As you have seen our numbers, the impact of the resolution has been significant. We were able to overcome the 45 million euro, thanks to what we have done in the past, thanks to what we have done in 2020, managing the cost. I don't know if the smaller operator have done the same way. My feeling is that they have even reduced the amount of investment. So the situation, and that goes back to the previous question, the situation on the tenders is becoming critical because you have two completely different situation. The largest or the larger operator are investing, upgrading the network. The small one are just waiting. But more than that, I cannot tell you because I don't have any other news to tell you. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Alex Wheeler from RBC. Please ask your question.
Hi there. Thank you. My first question is on the digitization of the network. Can you provide an update specifically on what steps need to be taken in 2021 to reach your full year, sorry, to reach your target of a full digitization of the network by early 2022? Secondly, on the tenders that you mentioned for 2021, is it possible for you to give a potential investment value for those tenders that you expect this year? Thank you.
Okay. Okay. On the digitization, we have clarified our plan in transforming and upgrading the network when we presented the strategic plan in October. We are completely on track. Let me say that in the first half of 2021, we will complete the replacement of the traditional meter, but that is only part of the overall scenario. What we are doing, I mentioned that we were able to upgrade already in 2020, 500 what we call sub-networks. That means it's a partition of our overall network. 2021 will be much higher than that, will be probably around three times. Our objective is by mid of 2022 to have completed the upgrade. What does it mean to complete the upgrade? It's not only the meters, it's the gas pressure reduction station, the valves, the measure, the pressure at the end of the grid, odorization unit, cathodic unit. In other terms, all the equipment that is sitting on the network will be digital in 2022. In the meantime, we are working on getting all the data, but not only getting all the data coming from the field, but also organizing the data, analyzing the data, writing algorithms to understand the data that will help us to manage differently the network. We are in parallel through our digital factory, starting to work on the data that now are coming in billions of data, organizing them, analyzing, and building algorithms to manage the network. On the tender side, we can say that we are looking at, we are expecting five of the tenders, a couple, two or three are of our interest. What is going to be the investment is not going to impact 2021 because we are going, as you know, when you present the offer, it will take between 6-12 months to get the result. Then you need to consider if anyone will raise some questions to the court, as happened everywhere, most everywhere. It will make eventually the assignment of the tender even longer. What is important for us is that the new tenders should be on the market, should be on the scene soon, moving up. We expect during 2021 overall, that does not mean that all of them are interest of us, around five. For the numbers, does not have any impact on 2021.
Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Emanuele Oggioni from Banca Akros. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking my question as well. The first one is on the gas tender and the potential new simplification draft law. I wonder when you expect any update on the potential support from the government's measures to simplify the concession rules, for the gas tenders? This is my first question. And the second one is on the non-recurring cost for the provision for the 40 meters at 2020, and also the your estimate outbreaks for until 2026. Could you please give us more details on the computations or the number or the percentage or the hypothesis of 40 meters you are expecting in this period? Thank you.
For the first question, as I said before, as soon as we will know, we will have the responsibility for the for our sector, we will present our position about gas tender, positive impact on the investment, the positive impact on the upgrade in terms of energy transition. As of today, we have not made any step because we're still waiting who's going to have the responsibility. On the 40 meters, let me say that up to the end of 2020, the number of 40 meters that we replaced were around 400,000, and the relevant cost have been already accounted. So the 38 million that we have in our as a special items that we have declared in our annual statement are relevant to all that all the 40 meters that we have here from January 1st, 2021 until 2026. How we have determined this number, we have divided the meters in a matrix with three axes. The first one is relevant to the supplier. The second one is relevant to the year in which the meters has been installed. And the third one is the year in which the problem may happen. Based on that, on the rate of the problem or rate of the default, we have determined the value, considering also the warranties that were provided by our supplier. In some cases, we had the full warranty, in other cases, a partial warranty, in other cases, because those are based on the contracts that were developed years ago. The new contract has a good coverage in terms of warranty. It may happen that the faulty meters are not linked to a problem of the supplier, maybe just broken by the customer. So in that case, the cost of the replacement is completely up to us. It's not covered by the warranty. So we have developed a matrix of let me say, the main difference is that the smart meters installed at the beginning of the program, so going back to 2014, 2015, and 16, have shown a level of default higher than the new ones. In addition, as you know, already in 2020, and we'll continue to do that, we are not using anymore the GPRS solution. We are using the narrowband IoT solution. The main difference of the two systems is that the narrowband IoT provide a better communication even in a difficult situation. Some of the faulty meters are not broken. Simply, they are put in a position with a difficult way to communicate. So the moment that we take out those meters, they are perfectly functioning, so we will reuse them. But in that case, to cover the difficulty in communication, we are using, and it's very very effective, the narrowband IoT solution. The narrowband IoT solution provides even another positive element, that is that they consume less energy, so less battery than the other ones. And so the battery life is even longer than in the other solution. So considering all that scenario, we have developed a very detailed case, and the 38.5 million is the result of that. To me, that gives you also another element of evaluation. When we said that when the resolution levelized the return on the network is the same as the return of the meters, we always said that the two technologies have a different foundation. The smart meters have a technology that is not as reliable as a pipe, and the number of faulty meters has demonstrated that we were right. So that is another element that we will submit in our process to demonstrate that, according to us, the reduction in the return of the smart meter should not have been taken as a decision by the regulator. Well, otherwise, we are going to submit to the regulator the fact that we were obliged to put aside that fund because of the technology that is not, especially to the old ones, the technology that was not as reliable because it was a new technology as it is today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, operator.
We have another question from the line of Stefano Gamberini from Equita SIM. Please ask your question.
Yes, many thanks. Three quick questions. First of all, regarding the RAB at the year end 2020, if you can supply us this figure. The second, regarding what is the dispute with the municipality of Rome that you write about in your press release, could be something significant or not, the potential impact. And the third, regarding the taxonomy, could we expect some calculations, some estimates in the next business plan, considering that from 2021 it will become quite an important element for investors? Many thanks.
If I'm not too wrong, you are at the second round. But having said that, we will take your question. But that means that you have raised six questions instead of the standard three. On the first one, on the RAB, I will tell them.
On the RAB, for the guidance of our RAB at the end of this year, I would say that we will give our guidance for the RAB together with the rest of the guidance in June. Please take note that the RAB at the end of 2020, which is the one which is used for the calculation of revenues for 2021, is at around 7.8 billion.
On the dispute with the Comune di Roma, there are two disputes going on. The first one is that the Comune di Roma claim the fact that we were late in delivering the investment promise in 2012. On the other side, we claim against the Comune di Roma saying that we were late because we were late in getting the authorization, and that has caused us a damage. Having said that, we are currently discussing with the Comune di Roma to settle, and I think we are in a good path. Each of us recognize that they have responsibility of that, so we are discussing with them currently how to settle the dispute. Hopefully it will be settled very soon. But remember, there are two disputes, the Comune di Roma against us and us against the Comune di Roma. On the taxonomy side, I'm going back to the answer that I gave to the Mediobanca Xavier. When I talked with the Franz Timmermans cabinet, that is Diederik Samsom, I asked exactly the question about taxonomy, and the taxonomy responded to me that as long as the investment on the grid have the objective to upgrade them to accommodate different gases, those investments are inside the taxonomy. because let me say the majority, if not 100% of our investment that we made on the grids have the aim to upgrade them, to make them digital, and to make them available to accommodate different gases, they are compliant with the taxonomy. And then you are not allowed to make any more questions. You have already doubled your peers.
I frankly finished all of them. Many thanks.
We have no further questions at this time, so please continue.
Okay, so many thanks to everyone attending. Many thanks to Stefano for the double questions and for everything. The IR team is available. Thank you.